Blog Talk Radio.
Able to get to on yesterday's show, Real Talk, Real Politics, starting with the Freddie Gray verdict. Is it likely that there will be any type of conviction in this saga with those officers in Baltimore? It is unlikely based on everything that I have absorbed. Famed attorney Christopher Darden was on a show this week, and he said that the prosecutor intentionally brought the case too quickly, which set up the resulting cases. And mind you, while there are a lot of angry black folk, I believe that the mayor is black. I'm not sure about the prosecutor, but I know the judge is. And the reasoning that you see with these acquittals in the Baltimore police case regarding Freddie Gray is simple. It's business and politics as usual, and unless those on the activists and protest side or those that have been victimized after the loss of their loved ones by that law enforcement agency, strategy for bringing successful lawsuits needs to begin early, as well as people need to be clearly mindful of the collusion within government. I can see, and I couldn't see even if it was some far out county in Baltimore that was predominantly white, and that's where this event occurred. But no, Baltimore is a pretty integrated town. And the likelihood of further convictions based on the previous acquittals is remote. Now, I don't want to dash all hope, but based on what Christopher Darden was saying, from a prosecutorial analysis, the case was not thought through properly to bring the proper charges and with enough due diligence so that they would stick, rather a rush to judgment, and basically with a sense of what the OJ trial was about. And the rush to judgment was in the style of papers and legal proceedings that were filed. So the rush is the city, basically, the city prosecutor decided to appease people who didn't have as much legal knowledge as that office. And it looked as if things were being done with bringing these cases when, in fact, Christopher Darden and I others have always agreed that this should have been a federal case against the officers. And under the Obama administration, you've seen a lot of crying and speech giving with regard to some of these killings and politics, but no real substantive action on the federal level to hold those officers accountable, pretty much. There is no accountability. Here in Los Angeles, former Sheriff Lee Baca lied to the FBI, withheld evidence, which had to do with a prisoner abuse case. He pleaded guilty and was given 6 months. Now he has Alzheimer's, and he probably will spend those 6 months, or at least three of them, in the lap of luxury. There is no accountability if you really start to analyze a lot of these cases. But before you go and become so angry, you need to break down the politics behind the politics. Here in Los Angeles, as well as most of California, it's ran by Democrats. Those predominantly Democrats that run, same in Chicago, New York. When you start looking at the hot spot and the hotbed of anger with regard to systemic abuses, where police misconduct is alleged or obvious, you just don't see an array of successful cases or successful judgments against those agencies. You just don't see it. Largely, at this point in our journey, this is still with the last 6-7 years of this, in Democratic districts and jurisdictions. So it suggests to me that at the core of what the public appeals to, in essence, the sense of democracy, doesn't actually what it is they perceive it does. Simply put, you're barking up the wrong tree and expecting a result that isn't probable, likely, or possible. It's the wrong tree. A couple of weeks ago, a week ago, I talked about being accosted by a young brother 2 times and accused me of some old crap, and it was nothing to do with nothing. I could see through it immediately. This morning, I ran into that brother again. I'm waiting on him to come with that bullshit. And then he said to another man that I knew in the same establishment, "Do you know this man?" Talking about me. Said, "I was told that he did this, that, and other to my people." I said, "Bro, I don't know you or your people." And apparently it all came down to he's some kind of pimp player, and he was threatening as if he had a gun each time. And then he referenced the street, 92nd Street. And he said, "Don't you live on Broadway?" "No, bro, I never have lived on Broadway. And I ain't been over to 92nd and Broadway in a minute." He said, "But they described your truck." "Said, bro, there are numerous people with this truck. But the difference here is I got a lift gate. Furthermore, my mindset was like, for all that bullshit you done caused, I got my heater on me. Come with it, motherfucker. I'm sick of this bullshit." So the brother, who's also a security guard, said, "Man, without question," he didn't even look look at me. He's like, man, I've been knowing that man for years. Well, the young brother apologized before he got any angry. And I just sat there and did what I had to do. Because, you know, I could give a damn what thought was going on. I don't play games. Since we all gotta die, at least you need to have some degree of choice in the matter. It's like what I'm talking about on a political scale. You see a conservative swing back toward a nostalgic theory and thesis of how we, the way we were, whether it's the EU and Britain leaving it, Scotland deciding they're going to leave the UK, the United Kingdom, so they can stay in the EU. All we're seeing is division. This week, the Supreme Court decided that 4 million illegal or immigrants or undocumented folk or illegal aliens, whatever the hell the status name or the politically correct name is today, cannot be barred from removal from the country because of an executive Obama order. In other words, he can't make that order, says the Supreme Court, which brings up 4 million deportees. Now, the likelihood that they're going to deport 4 million people is remote, but it's not improbable, just remote, because they're focused on crime out of the population of folks here illegally. So at the end of the day, you see more division. I don't think that folk are so anti-immigrant because we're all immigrants here in the United States. I don't care who you is, with the exception of the American Indian or the native folk who were here, descendants of the Inuit who came down, I think, to Bering Strait from Alaska. Asiatic people. The exception of those class of people, we're all immigrants. Either we're forced here and then born here, and your historical roots go to somewhere else. Otherwise, you're a Native American. I think when you start factoring in economics now into the debate, you can see clearly why England is frustrated with the situation or the status quo. And you can see that in the United States. Now, I don't necessarily see how we then rallied to Donald Trump. But then again, he was the only one sounding this message board. The problem with this guy is, again, you want to listen to a lot of what he's saying, which is different and it makes sense, but it's how he's saying it. It's how his message is delivered, which is offensive to everybody and reflective of how we got this way in the first damn place. You can't make America great again until America acknowledges their past sins. You can't make America whole again until America acknowledges it was never whole in the first place. Because they stole, begged, and borrowed people and human capital from all over the globe, and then imperialized as they began to be more successful. You go from a corner lemonade operation The next thing you know, you got fruit juice and vegetable juice and lime and, you know, mango juice. Next thing you know, you went from a corner in front of your house to you got a little storefront, and now you're selling other things on top of the juice and the cups to put it in, and you can now go to your juice bar. Next thing you know, you're a corporation. You are huger than life, and everything about you is to squash and kill your competition. I don't care if it's little Susie, little Marco, little Toby, little Bim Bim Bim, a Bam Bam, a Zim Zam. It doesn't matter. If there's a family struggling, your job now is to crush the competition. That is the psychology of what I believe Woodrow Wilson said in the 20s, that the business of America, President Woodrow Wilson, the business of America is business. Once I figured that part out, everything else was relative. Because your morality is defined by business, money transactions, not moral equivalences or deep-seated feelings. No, it's about what have you done for me lately. Everything in our realm, and to act as if it isn't, is that foolish play. That foolish play. I played Everybody, Everybody, Dreamland, the album of Dreamland from Black Box. I hadn't listened to that in some time. And one of the reasons I played it is because it's about everybody, everybody. We're going to take a break. And it's going to be about a 6 minute and 57 second break. And this break is about listening to something that gives you an insight into my psychology and why it's so, so difficult to help people these days. It's so, so difficult to reach people in a meaningful and impactful way. You can Facebook all day and Twitter and Snapchat all day, but there's no emotional substance to that because humans must have social, physical interaction. And the path that we're going suggests something else of a non-reality. And sometimes as I hear certain things and examine certain recordings, it just is hilarious how the subject matter affects the psychology of present living.
Looking out between the bars, the Gold River. father's brother came to me and asked the name of the animal. He said, go duck. He always said, beware of the G-O duck. Go duck. Beware means watch out. Watch out. So the dog duck. And the rest of it, the king. He sees the girl standing there, leaning on the cage, sticking out between the bars. Rep thinks that the girl is a man in jail. The man is civil rights violating. Rep stops in front of the cage. He says, that brother, why have they got you behind the bar? Whatever they said you did, you didn't do it. And you didn't do it, but I know an innocent face when I see you. That you didn't do it, brother, and I know. Look, the look that I had hanging down in your nasty face. He said, brother, they won't even let you wash your nasty face. So, they didn't even let you drink your chalk. Says, brother, a man that's pretty low to drink from a trough. We're going to do something about this. Then we're going to get the members, and I'm going to write down the tabernacle, and I'm going to get the members to get together, and we're going to send a petition to Washington. Then we're going to do something, brother. Said, all I got $1 of rain over the back of the studio. Said, but you can have that, and I'm going to give that to you. He walked over. Dropped her ankle and extended his hand with the girl a clasp. I said, brother, I'm going to see you in a little while. And he went to pull back and he thought the girl was tightening up. The pain shot off his arm. Down his back. I said, brother, I told you that I would see you in a little while. And he rests on his spine now. Brother, didn't I say I would see you in a little while? And the girl smacked him inside the cage. He twists the ball. I threw that thrown off and in the ball. Throw a full shoulder blade, gets it in there. And he cups his head in one paw, and he rain blows upon him with a 75-pound mass of hair covered in dust. The Peter says, brother, now wait a minute. Now hold it. And the girl snaps him by the neck. Throw his hand for the man's neck. A handful of neck doesn't leave too much neck. Has anybody ever had a handful of your neck? The girl took him by and beat him off both sides of the cage. And he slammed him around, slammed him down, jumped up and down, and picked him up and flung him up between the balls. Shut up. First off, he walked over to the king. He said, brother, I'm talking to you. Dad, I'm talking to you. The girl went back over the shoulder. The rep said, you know, that you're not a man. That you act like a gorilla. That's the way you act. He said, whatever they said you did, you did it. Yes, you did it, and some more of a time. And I'm going to get the members to send a petition to Washington, all right, to see that you get the Oscar there. And oh, yes, that's my hair hanging down in your nasty face. I hope they keep you in that room. It'll cover your shiny car.
All right, folks, we're back. Real Talk, Real Game. I'm Marty Smith. that was actually Flint Wilson. The album is called Geraldine, The Devil Made Me Do It. And it's so insightful because you're dealing with a preacher whose reality is off. Whatever he thought he saw was not the current reality. Sort of like the brother I was dealing with in the restaurant. His reality was not my reality. Thus, he proceeded to engage me like the reverend, and I was the gorilla. And sometimes our political nature has gotten to the point, and our social nature, and the things that we take into our brain and into our soul has gotten to the point where it's not real. The fantasy is in your head, and you're rolling with it. 1% of the American public is schizophrenic. ~90% of the American public will probably, if left untreated, end up on the corner talking to some deity in their head or in their mind or in their vision. And I've always said over the years, careful with that too. You know, you go downtown and you see a guy there with matted hair or a woman there with the Jesus Saves signs and talking and speaking in tongues, and you immediately assume that the dude must be crazy. He must be schizophrenic. He needs a shower. He needs a haircut. She needs to go home. She needs to get it together. You just assume they're crazy, like the gorilla. And I've always said, well, hold on, Marty Moore. What if they're actually talking to Jesus and they're not crazy? God is channeling through them. You and everybody else. You and everybody else are the people with problems. They are on the one, like the gorilla. Their perception is as accurate, spot on, as the gorilla. And so when I understand it on another level, it just reminds me that needless and wanton ignorance and violence always will occur when you don't have an accurate understanding of the gorilla.
I'm going to